The world has changed for the professional, especially those on the international business stage. Not too long ago, I had the experience of attending an online meeting. From a professional perspective, the meeting lead was well experienced in their technical role, but I suspect that it may have been their first time running an online business meeting in business English. To begin with, this was just a suspicion. However, a few minutes later into the meeting, my suspicions had been confirmed several times over. This is not to say that this professional couldn't run meetings. Clearly, they had experience. But it was evident that their current efforts resembled more of Bambi on ice rather than the thundering momentum of their usual offline style. So this got me thinking. Online meetings require a different approach. And to best illustrate this, I required someone with not just monumental experience in running online meetings, but also a professional that understands the unique requirements of non-native English speakers working on the global stage. And so my guest today is arguably the biggest in the business when it comes to producing English language podcast content. Her brand, her team, and her incredible audio brilliance position their fantastic podcast consistently at the top of the most well-known podcast platforms on the planet. I am, of course, talking about Lindsay from All Ears English. Lindsay is the co-host of All Ears English. The All Ears English podcast has 1.3 million followers on Apple Podcasts and Spotify globally. It is downloaded 4 million times per month and has been ranked in the best of Apple Podcast categories in 2018, 2019, and as high as number one in US education language courses. Lindsay and her team have been featured in Podcast Magazine, Language Magazine, and Forbes. So, without further ado, let's get amongst it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Business English Podcast, helping professionals communicate more effectively, more confidently, and with impact. With your host, Rob, from Energetic English. Let's get down to business.
Okay, welcome, Lindsay, to the Business English Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Rob. I'm excited to be on your show.
Yes, thanks very much for spending the time with us today. Now, we've brought you on because of your expertise in running your business across the world. You know, you have clients and business running in most areas of the world. And your team, how diverse and well spread is your team?
Yeah, so we have some people, members of our team in the Philippines. We have some members of our team in California, in Oregon, in New Jersey, and we're often working with contractors all over the world. However, our core team of podcasters, our co-hosting team, Michelle, Aubrey, and Jessica, we are within the US. Cultural differences there too, though, Rob, for sure.
Brilliant. Yeah. So the idea here, what I wanted to do today, I wanted to speak to you about running remote meetings or running meetings in general, but certainly, you know, in the last 24 months, 36 months, we've really seen a push on remote meetings as things have changed at a global level. To begin with, do you have any sort of broad concepts or broad ideas about running remote meetings in general, Lindsay?
For sure. For sure. So from a leadership perspective, if you are the owner of a company, you're a leader of a team, or you're just tasked with leading this meeting, I actually don't think that much is very different other than the fact that you need to be more intentional about how you design the meeting, because that intentionality will go so much further if you do it. And if you're not intentional, it'll hurt your team cohesiveness and your teamwork that much more. So just being more intentional. So in our planning stages, we need to have intention and in how we want this meeting to look.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, do you go into each one of these meetings with a specific outcome? How do you drive that intention? How do you inform the individuals that are attending that meeting in terms of the intention or the output?
Yes. In terms of informing them ahead of time, I definitely let them know some of the things that we'll be talking about. If they're going to have a particular role in that meeting, I definitely let them know. And that is one of my key tips, which I imagine we'll get into in a bit. Sure. But certainly a scope of how long they need to set it, how much time they'll need to set aside for it.
Yeah.
And we do these team syncs 4 or 5 times a year. And so at this point, my team members have all been with me for quite a while. And yeah. So we know what they look like, but certainly providing a broad agenda, but not giving everything away. You need that balance right. of there's going to be some exciting announcements, some surprises, good surprises, hopefully. And then there is some structure as well.
Great. Yeah. Structure, very, very important in terms of organizing the meeting. Yeah, absolutely. Why do you think that the remote meeting scene is useful for global business? I know I see all these conferences being organized in Vegas. I've never had an invite to Vegas, but these in-person meetings, they are effective and it's really good to have that human touch. But in terms of remote meetings, they work for you?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm a very practical person. Our approach to language learning is very practical. And it's more about the fact that we can expand our network faster, have more opportunities when we do the remote meeting. So it's really not an option, you know, working with multiple partners as we do at Allers English to get on a plane and fly to these countries, you know, every month. And so it just expands our network. There is a time and a place. For example, I go to a lot of podcasting conferences and I will set up meetings with my partners at these conferences because we'll both be there. And that for me is the time to sit down and have a coffee. It's not necessarily the time to do any work or do any negotiation. It's to build that relationship a bit more where we've already signed a contract or maybe we'll sign a contract next month. So there's a time and a place for every kind of meeting, Rob. Does that make sense?
Great. Yeah, absolutely. So are you saying that different formalities can exist offline and online? It really depends on who you're meeting and what you're speaking about. Could you have a very formal meeting online remotely?
Sure. I think you can. Absolutely. And it would just be about structuring that, preparing it, planning it in a way that is a bit more formal. I think broadly, one other thing that's changing in the business world is that business is becoming a little less formal. You know, after the pandemic, many people are working from home or they're doing a hybrid schedule. So I think there is a little informality being introduced, but we do have to be careful there because especially if we're running cross-cultural meetings, meeting with partners, maybe people we want to collaborate with around the globe, we might not be at the same level of formality, informality, right? So we need to, I think we err on the side of formality until we know things are a little going to loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. So based on the sheer scale of the business that you run, and as you said, you're distributed across the globe, across many time zones, I would love for you to share your expertise with the listeners today on the podcast. So I understand that you have 3 key tips for running remote meetings. Yes. What is your first tip, Lindsay?
Yeah. So the context of these tips are within the team syncs that I run with my team. And these particular team syncs involve my coworkers right here in the US. But again, we are in different regions, different time zones, and there are different cultural divides even within the US. So my first tip, Rob, is make sure you spend time, allow human time at the top of the meeting. Now, I've never been a huge fan of icebreakers. I don't know if that's a big thing in the UK. Is that a thing? Or
I mean, they do teach it, you know, you should break the ice, but I'm not sure how it actually plays out. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
So I'm not a fan of cheesy games. I'm not even really a huge fan of games, although I do have a member of my team who loves games. I tend to lead when I run a meeting. My goal is to help them get to know each other a little better than they did before, especially because we're basically 99% remote as a company. We've done a few live events in New York and Japan, but mostly remote. And so I want them to know each other a little bit better. Yeah, okay. So questions like, would you rather, right? That sort of thing, where it's not just about answering the question, it's about saying something about yourself. It's kind of like you identify with your answer. There are a lot of questions you can ask a team, and it can be literally 3 minutes, but give people that human time because we are running teams of human beings, not robots, hopefully, yet.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yes, great. Completely agree, Lindsay, completely agree. You know, providing that human time and having that connection with the individuals because we hire humans at the moment, as you know, to your point. Right. And so we need that human connection in order to operate. And I think that just greases the wheels for whatever's coming up in that meeting, whether it's good news, bad news, friction, doesn't matter, but building that initial rapport. Would you class this as networking, even though that you know your team more intimately than perfect strangers?
I guess you could broadly say it's networking. What I classify it is as they don't have, especially a remote team, 100% remote team, they don't have water cooler moments. They don't get those moments. And it's my way of giving them those moments. Well, my logical mind says, oh my gosh, the number of things we have to do today. We have 90 minutes. They need to know everything. But then I pull myself back and I say, no, relax, right? Let's get to know each other. So it's a water cooler moment that they get to have. They don't get normally, and we need those times. So that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. Okay. So key point number one, you know, building that connection before that meeting. Brilliant. Excellent advice. Key tip number two, please, Lindsay.
Yeah. So I love this. And this might vary culturally, but what we do, what I think is important as a leader of a company, leading a meeting, let others take the stage because human beings like to have ownership. They like autonomy. At Allers English this year, last summer, for the first time, we introduced primary roles for our main team. And so each of them has something that they're responsible for within the company. Aubrey is responsible for community development and student feedback and corrections. So she works directly with the students. Jessica works on curriculum development. Michelle is our kind of our entertainer in the podcasts. And so we all have something we're responsible for. So giving each of them, not at every meeting, not every time, but when a certain area of the company is relevant, I will give them the stage and I'll say, give us a report on how our student community is growing. What can we do to improve it? What are the topics that are relevant right now? And what can Aubrey ask for help to the team for? Right.
Mm-hmm. So empowering the individual, I think that is very, very important. It's not necessarily like a flat management structure, but even though you may have a team lead or a line manager at work or in your organization or startup, you are empowering each member of the team in a specific way.
Yeah. And there is a cultural piece that's interesting here. I think that, you know, we run a pretty, what would you call it? Kind of a horizontal structure in terms
of management. Yeah,
exactly. We don't have departments and hierarchies. And so this might be different in a larger company or in a country that has a larger sense of power distance, right? Where the owner of the company or the manager, there's a big gap. And so this is really going to depend on your company culture and your country culture, whether or not you would want to implement this. But I think from a human perspective, people want to take ownership. I've seen, since we've done these primary roles, I've seen a major sense of growth in many of them because they run with their role. They know that's their role, they own it, and they are accountable for it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And so empowering the individual, you're actually getting the throw off from that is not just that they're accountable, but they have this personal pride and a personal stake almost within that role. So that's a really good piece of advice. Fantastic tip number two, empowerment of the individual. And finally, take us home. Key point number three, Lindsay.
Yeah. All right, so take it home. And this is really important. People, again, coming back to what human beings need, they need a roadmap. They need to know what's coming up. I learned this the hard way because we're a small, fast-moving, scrappy company. Yeah. I realized that I can move fast and I can decide one day, now we're going in this direction. We're going to try this. That works for me, but other people need more time. They need warning. They need to make extra time in their schedule, right? Yes. Maybe they're doing something else as well, another job. They need a month in advance to reduce hours somewhere else so they can give more to Allers English. So give them a sense of the roadmap. So we hold these meetings every quarter. I'll hold one at the end of March to review Q1 and to let them know what's ahead for Q2. What is coming up? What can we expect to see? You know, we're going to be right now, we're building our B2 fluency course. And so I warned them in January at the top of Q1, hey, this is going to get a little intense towards the end of March. So make sure you not only have the time in your schedule, but you also have the mental and emotional bandwidth for it. It could get a little stressful, but we've been having these conversations. So hopefully we'll be more prepared. Does that make sense?
That's fantastic. You know, expectation management, you know, mapping it out and doing this ahead of time, although you're, as you say, you're going into quite a period of intensity, let's put it that way, you're still managing those expectations, saying, hey, this is coming. And I honestly believe that that reduces the intensity just by knowing about it. You know, that stress, it's the same idea about putting waiting times on at train stations. Even though the train is not arriving any faster, your expectations are being managed that it's okay, don't stress out. So brilliant.
And And there are also, just to extend that, Rob, there are also certain things that we can do in our language, our choice of pronouns even. We can say we may have an intensive few weeks at the end of March rather than you might have a lot of work, right? It's not that way. Maybe one person is responsible for the work for the most part during that particular 2 weeks, but it's us as a team. We're undergoing some kind of challenge, but once this course is done, we launch it, we'll have a happy hour, team happy hour online, for example. We are in it together. So there are certain language choices we can make to make it a lot easier. Yeah.
That is a fantastic piece of advice. Yeah. Being more inclusive with the language and, you know, distributing the pressure or the stress laterally, you know, we're all in this together. We're all in the same boat. I think, great piece of advice. And so with your experience of running these remote meetings, really going out to the listeners out there who may be running a meeting remotely or otherwise for the first time, do you have a key point or an underlying principle to give them just to help them on their way? It could be a phrase or a strategy to help them really conduct it with a little bit more confidence the first time they're doing it.
For the first time, for sure. I mean, this particular tip could be used very well the first time as well as the 200th time. This is what I think is most important. It's the overarching idea across all of these tips. And so far we've talked about tactics, right? And now I want to talk a little bit about something more than strategy, it's values. So every company ideally has a reason for existing. For us, it's our slogan, it's our trademark, it's our tagline, it's connection, not perfection. We strongly believe that the reason we're learning language, business English, even IELTS, or just general English is for human connection. It's not because we want to learn grammar. It's not that we want to learn vocabulary, it's that we want to connect. And so I always try to make sure that I bring them that back, our team back to that underlying reason for being. And I know that they identify with that as well. It's a motivating factor. It reminds them why they work for Allers English, right? So the way I might do this is I might bring in podcast reviews where literally our listeners write to us every day quoting our tagline, connection, not perfection. Great. And that means that our listeners believe it too, and we're in it. And that kind of is a great way to finish up the meeting because it makes it about so much more than just making money, right? We're not just here to make money and run a business. We're here to make change in the world. And so I know it sounds a little idealistic, but this is what people need.
Brilliant. Yes, completely agree. I couldn't agree with you more actually about this. It's not just a strategy, it's a value that you embody as a living thing. The organization is a living thing. And so you can all pull in the same direction with this value in mind. It's your North Star, so to speak, not just a tagline.
And it has to be genuine, right? It has to come from your heart as the leader. So if you're just spitting off the tagline, they're going to see right through it. So don't do this unless you have something genuine to say or share, if you've gone through this as a company, right? And maybe you don't have it immediately when you first start your company, but eventually you get there. All right. So that's what I would say.
Great. Lindsay, three fantastic tips there and a final value to provide the foundation to draw a line under it all. Thank you ever so much. Lindsay, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you for providing so much value in a short space of time. I'd love to do this again sometime, but I wish you all the best with your business endeavors.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me on your show, Rob. I appreciate it. And great to meet you.
Likewise. Likewise. Take care of yourself. We'll see you soon.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye now. Well, what an incredible episode to get anyone started or indeed refine the skills of any professional running online meetings. You can find more of Lindsay's and her team's chart-topping material at allisenglish.com or by searching All Is English on any podcast platform or, of course, by checking out the links in the episode description. So that just leaves me to say, ensure you internalize the tips from today's episode by reviewing the material Lindsay and I were discussing. Until next time, keep practicing, stay sharp, and of course, keep it strictly business.
You have been listening to the Business English Podcast. Remember to subscribe, leave a review, and we'll see you next time.